It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The University of Pittsburgh has entered into an agreement with Philadelphia University to house the late Senator Arlen Specter's archives. Senator Specter passed away in October of last year after having represented the Commonwealth for 30 years as Pennsylvania's longest-serving U.S. Senator. I'm joined now by Michael Dubricius, Assistant University Librarian at Pitt, to get some insight into the world of Arlen Specter and what this archival information can tell us about the decisions he made throughout his career. Michael Dubricius, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good to be here, Paul.
Arlen Specter was from the eastern side of Pennsylvania, so why does Pitt have access to the archives instead of a Philadelphia school?
Well, that's a pretty good question, one that a lot of people are probably wondering about. You know, when you think about a large senatorial collection, particularly one from modern times, as Senator Specter's is, covering 30 years and some materials predating that time, you're looking at an awful lot of content. I think some of the media reports have indicated that there are going to be about 2,700 boxes of files. What's not been known is that there's going to be also about 250 gigabytes of electronic files, and that's a huge amount of material. But that's what you end up with a major senatorial collection in the modern era. And when Philadelphia University received the collection, I'm sure they were probably somewhat taken aback by the complexities associated with both the paper record and the electronic record. And I think started thinking about getting somebody else involved with this. And so it came around really to us. They approached us last fall and asked us if we would be interested in exploring some options in collaborating with them on this project. And as it turns out, it over several months of negotiation and discussion, telephone calls, we agreed to participate in preserving the late senator's papers.
And how extensive is this collection? It sounds like it's just boxes and boxes of stuff.
Well, I think that's true. One young archivist that I found out that we were getting this collection emailed me back last night, said that she would almost begin to cry if she was faced with such an arduous task as managing 2,500 or more boxes of paper files.
2,500 boxes.
Probably closer to 3,000 when it's all said and done.
Man.
Yes, it's a big one. This is going to be probably twice as big as any single collection that we have at the University of Pittsburgh.
Now, I know you haven't had a chance to go through any of this yet or have had a chance to see it. What do you expect to find?
Well, most senatorial collections have the similar content in many ways. I've had experience in working with other Senate collections in another institution. One of our staff members, Ed Galloway, who's head of the archives, has had experience working with late Senator John Hines' records that are at the Carnegie Mellon University. And the kind of things that you see in a modern senatorial collection include an awful lot of things like case files, constituent mail, committee records. And in Senator Specter's case, the Judiciary Committee records are going to be very interesting once we get into those. Because of his long tenure on that committee and oftentimes in a very controversial positions. But also other things, too. Some things like artifacts, memorabilia, photographs, all sorts of files, bills introduced, legislative files, in other words. It's a very, very complex and comprehensive body of material that we'll be facing.
As I understand it, the center's first exhibition focusing on the Warren Commission's report on the assassination of John F. Kennedy will open in October, and this would be an observance of the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, which is in November of this year. As an aide to the commission, Specter advanced the lone gunman single bullet theory. What does history say in terms of supporting that theory and what we might see in this exhibition that people may have some very strong reactions to?
Well, yeah, I think there are a lot of people who the conspiracy theorists out there probably believe that we don't know everything about that particular investigation. And you see this if you just go on websites and consult with that subject heading. But I think in Specter's archive, you're going to find at least documentation that supports whatever the evidence was providing to them when they went through that investigation. The single bullet theory, in part, is is because they could not find any other evidence that supported a second or third party involved in that shooting. And this is a Zapruder, the Zapruder film, by the way, is also part of the evidence that is out there. They've broken that film down frame by frame, second by second. They've tried to find other bullets that either ended up in either people or in the car itself and just could not come up with anything. So lacking other evidence, I think that what they came up with was a single bullet theory.
And you know that people are sitting here listening to this, the conspiracy theorists, and there are plenty of them out there who have some well-grounded suspicions, thinking maybe that some that it's not that there isn't any evidence, it's just that either it was never found or somebody just disposed of it.
Well,
for whatever reason.
I'm sure that those people will always think that sort of thing. At some point in time when all of those records are available for research, we invite all the conspiracy theorists to come out and look at everything. Maybe they'll get some satisfaction from seeing the files themselves, but probably not.
Now, Ireland Spector he had very interesting and unpredictable positions as a senator. He also crossed party lines to become the only Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee to vote against the nomination of Judge Robert Bork to the Supreme Court. Have you been struck by the irony of this? Because Bork has a connection to Pitt.
Well, yes, but Senator Spector was known as a contrarian throughout his career in the Senate. He had his own views. He respected Robert Bork tremendously. There's evidence that he sat down and actually spoke with Bork at the committee hearings or in his office for approximately 7 hours. And I suspect that those two simply differed on something that perhaps we will never fully understand. But clearly, Spector went against the president's wishes, his own party's wishes. He, as I said, respected Bork, but he did not want to have him on the Supreme Court. And he let that be made known and basically scuttled that effort.
What they now call getting Borked.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
So when will the public get its first chance to see some of these archives in the Ireland Spector collection?
Well, we're still working with our colleagues at Philadelphia University to arrange for the collection to be transferred to Pittsburgh. That probably won't occur until sometime later this fall, as early as maybe September, October. But the head of the archives, Ed Galloway, and I will be going out to Philadelphia to meet with them sometime later this month or early April to help set up some of the logistics to figure out when that collection will get here. And as soon as it's here, we're going to start working on it. And as soon as we work on those pieces that can be rolled out to the public, so to speak, because there's, as I said, close to 3,000 boxes, that may take still another year or two before all of that starts to happen. But if people are patient, I think they'll be very pleased with the results.
Well, have fun going through all that stuff, Michael. And thank you for joining us. Michael Dobrycius, Assistant University Librarian at Pitt. Again, thanks for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Always good to be here, Paul.
Coming up, actor Monte Russell talks about his role in the one-man play, Thurgood, when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.